Welcome to the Cup of Glow podcast, where each week we will connect, uplift, and promote people, places, and events in and around Tallahassee for you. I am your host, Gloria Darling, your community cheerleader, proud milestone diva, and advocate for women age 50 or better. I'm so glad you're here. Let's go! Grab your favorite beverage and join me on my virtual front porch as we start the show. Today, Andrew Miller will speak about his volunteer work in several local prisons. Since 2019, he has sponsored gavel clubs, special versions of Toastmasters for those who cannot join a traditional Toastmasters club. In 2022, he began teaching creative writing at Madison and Jefferson Correctional Institutions. Most of his professional career was spent at the United States Army Engineer Research and Development Center in Vicksburg, Mississippi, where he conducted research on endangered species and habitat restoration. In addition to volunteering, he restores antique stained glass windows and writes short stories and essays. He and his wife have lived in Tallahassee since 2006. Welcome, Andrew.
Thank you very much, Gloria. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. You have a very wide range of experience. Research and Development Center at Vicksburg, where you're conducting research on endangered species. Oh, my. What endangered species have you done most recently?
Well, they were freshwater mussels. So there are maybe 30 or 40 mussels that are on the endangered species list. And there's, for example, there's one in the Apalachicola River, Emblema nisleri, which is also called the fat three-ridge mussel. And so we would do surveys for these mussels, find out how many they were, if they were reproducing, and if they were still surviving. So we did that really all the way up to La Crosse, Wisconsin, in the Mississippi River. There's quite a few endangered species. So we would search for those using a dive team, determine if they're present and if they could do dredging projects or whatever without damaging the mussels.
Were you on a dive team?
I was not, although I did dive, I was not doing the diving. I had a regular six-man crew that would do the diving. And so I was just up on the boat making sure they were in the right places.
That's exciting. Mussels, were they mussels that we would eat sometimes, or because they were endangered, you're not even allowed to catch them and eat them?
Well, you could eat them. A freshwater mussel is essentially like an oyster. The thing is that oysters are in a cleaner water usually and are growing very rapidly. So they are not as tough as a mussel from a river that might be 40 or 50 years old. So they're not very tasty. Now, I understand that Native Americans used to eat them. Occasionally, you'll find people in backwoodsy areas who will say they eat them, but generally, we don't eat the freshwater mussels.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's enough of mussels for today. Let's talk a little bit more about your volunteerism and what you're doing at the correctional institutions. Mm-hmm. At first, that sounds kind of scary to me, like going into a correctional institution. But through you, I've learned, and others are going to learn, it's not scary at all. So what inspired you to start volunteering in a correctional facility?
It was 2018, and I was at a dinner party with some friends, and I was looking for volunteer work to do in Tallahassee, something other than running a bingo game at the senior center. So I announced to the group, I said, I'm looking for some meaningful volunteer activities to engage in. And a woman sitting across from me said, call Chuck Rabot. She said, he does something in prisons. I'm not sure what, but call him and find out. So I called Chuck and I found out that he was a sponsor of these gavel clubs, which are Toastmasters clubs for prisons. And I said, well, I don't know anything about Toastmasters, really. He said, Don't worry about that. Spend the day with me and you'll learn everything you need to know. So I went over to his house one morning at 5 a.m. We drove to Holmes Correctional Institution, which is about 150 miles from Tallahassee. Went to a gavel club there, then went to another gavel club, and then ended up at the women's prison at the third gavel club. And he was right. I learned what I needed to know in those three different trips. So I was hooked. I decided I wanted to do it, and I let him know, and I had to go through a little more training. And then for a few months, I just bounced around, went to different prisons. Then COVID came, so we shut down. The gavel clubs closed up. But then about a year later, they started to open up again. And I eventually got my own prison. There were a previous volunteer had to quit for health reasons. That was Jefferson Correctional Institution. So when he left, I went there. And that was in early 2022, mm-hmm. that I started doing full-time work there. So it's been, since then, I've hardly missed a day for the last 2 years. I'm working my third year with them.
Well, congratulations.
No, thank you.
When I have a chance, I would like to visit one of those.
You are more than welcome. We'd love to have you.
Now, for people who may not be familiar with Toastmasters, even though it's in its 100th year now.
That is correct.
In August, they're going to have a big centennial celebration.
Right.
Please explain a little bit more about it, or let's talk a little bit more about Toastmasters is, and then the sub of what's a gavel club.
Okay. Well, first of all, the gavel club and the Toastmasters club run almost identically. There's not much of a difference. Now, the dues are less for the gavel club, and they do not get credit through Toastmasters International for their work in the club. So that's a big difference. However, the club runs, the meetings run exactly like they do out on the street. And so the Toastmasters, the Gavel Club or the Toastmasters, we have prepared speeches that last from 5 to 7 minutes. Usually there's three or four in the prison because they run for 2 hours. And we have impromptu speeches where the table topics master will give a question and then call on somebody who's an unsuspecting person to give an answer. They evaluate the speeches. We have the awe counter, the grammarian, the timer, all of these things, just like in a regular Toastmasters meeting out on the street. And the guys really love it, and well, ladies too, in the ladies' prison. They will say to me, being in this club meeting for 2 hours is as though I was outside of the prison. They enjoy it that much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I visited one, but it wasn't a gavel club. It was an actual Toastmasters club in a women's facility. And it was so moving because I'm just a tough cookie.
Yeah.
And I found myself welling up and wanting to cry when I heard some of the speeches, and they're not like so sob story. They were uplifting.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. There are some excellent speakers in prisons, and they have some good topics. They really spend time working on their topics. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's really good, mm-hmm. and it does give them something else to do.
Right. That is correct.
That takes their mind off why they were there.
Yes.
And probably sometimes how long they have left, mm-hmm. or I don't know. I guess it's inspiring because I would hear some of the ladies say, well, when I go home, then, mm-hmm. This is what I'll do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What about some success stories or notable achievements during those visits?
Well, I can answer that in two ways. First of all, Chuck put me in touch with some people who had been released from prison who had been in Toastmasters. One woman, for example, in Southern Florida drives a truck. She owns a cab and picks up jobs from various companies. And she said that Toastmasters gave her the ability to speak well with other people, to call up sponsors, people who wanted some hauling done. Mm-hmm. And she even got so good at it that some of the other truck drivers, who were incidentally were men, would have her set up jobs for her because she got so good at it. And she attributes all that to Toastmasters, her ability to speak well, to lead, to listen. And so she gained a lot from Toastmasters. Another woman was from a Middle Eastern country, And when she came to America, she was immediately incarcerated. So she did. She had to learn about prison culture and American culture all at the same time. But she said that Toastmasters gave her her voice. In this Middle Eastern country, women don't always speak up and are considered more of a second-class citizen. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't so in the prison. So she said that Toastmaster gave her her voice. She learned to interact with people, learned to run meetings, learned to listen, learned to evaluate. And she'll also give Chuck Rabot some credit as saying that he was her mentor. So those are success stories of people who've gone out after prison and have, into the free world. But there's plenty of cases of people who are in prison who learn to speak much better after being in for several months. They can think on their feet. They speak more clearly. They know how to put together a speech. They know how to interact in a meeting. They know a little bit about parliamentary procedures. And so if they were to get out of prison, they would be able to handle themselves in front of a parole officer much better than before. So they gain a lot. And another interesting thing, when you ask a person who's incarcerated, why do you want to join Toastmasters? Invariably, they will say something like this: had I been a better speaker when I was in front of a judge or a jury, or when I talked to a law enforcement officer, had I been a better speaker, I might not be here, or I might not have such a long sentence. They almost always will say that.
True, I would imagine. And if nothing else, it's a confidence builder.
It is, yes.
You know, I've been active in Toastmaster myself, and it does. It builds confidence, allow you to test things, try things out, but get that backing to say, yes, I can do it. And people are supportive. So even if you fail, they'll lift you up in some way.
I tell them, we're all friends here, and this is the place to make mistakes, because nobody will hold it against you. People forget about those little ahs and ums anyway. Next week, you come back, and it's a brand new slate.
You also teach creative writing. So talk a little bit about that.
I was at Madison Correctional Institution, and I was at a gavel club, and a man came up to me, and he said, I know you're interested in writing. Would you mentor me? I would like to learn to write better, and I'd like to be able to publish. So I went into the chaplain, and I explained the situation. The chaplain said to me, don't consider that. There's no way that you're going to help one of these men publish something. So I waited a month or two, and then I went to see the warden. And I said, I related the same story. I'd like to help this man learn to write better and publish. So she looked at me and she said, how would you like to mentor 50 men? And I wasn't quite expecting that. And I said, well, I'm not sure that I do. She said, we're starting an arts program here. One of the components is creative writing. They also had music appreciation and the visual arts. And 50 men have signed up, and we'd like somebody to teach it. I was not prepared for that, but I said, yes, I will do it. So she put me in charge of the woman who had come up with a program. Her name was Rolanda Mitchell. This was at Madison CI. So I talked to her, and I talked to a couple of inmates that had helped design the program. They'd worked together on it. And this was in 2023, right in January, I came out there. And I gave a little lecture, gave them a writing assignment. And then they wrote for a while, and I'd have them stand up and read what they've written. And they enjoyed it. They very much enjoyed it. So I continued doing that up until about June or July, I guess. Then we were at the end of the course, and so we took a little breather. And then I said I'd come back and teach it again to a select group of guys who are really interested. So I'm still involved with them. I go out once a month. I give them an assignment. They'll work on it in the dorm. And then they email it to me on the Secura system, which is an email system, for inmates in all the prisons in the United States can communicate with that. That's the way I conduct the creative writing. Now, at the same time, the men at Jefferson CI found out about this. I mean, there's obviously exchange among prisons. So one of them asked me, could you teach creative writing out here? And I said, sure. So now I go out there Tuesday afternoons and teach creative writing. Actually, this is my second class of another group of guys out there. And the men are very appreciative of this. I give them different assignments, but I will take things in to read to them that might be an example of the kind of writing I want them to do. For example, Ernest Hemingway wrote a series of short vignettes, just a paragraph about things that happened in war. They were not a full short story, but he just put these out. And so I give them an example of that sort of writing so they can hear really good literature. Then they can have something to base their own writing on.
Do you get more short stories or poems, or what type of writing do they do?
Right. I am not a poet, and so I do not teach poetry. Now, on one occasion at Madison, I had a poet come out and gave a section on poetry, which I was very happy to have her. So I tell them that I really am not equipped to teach them poetry, but some of them will write poems no matter what. And I do my best to help them with it. In fact, I have a friend who's a poet, so I'd send some things off to him and he would make comments on it. So we do the best we can with poetry. But they probably, I would say, poetry is the number one thing of interest. And then probably short stories, things that they can make up based on their own lives. And then also they like to write essays, things about being in prison or things about before they came to prison. Some men do not want to write about their experiences in prison. Others do. So you just never really, you can never really tell what their interests are. One man, for example, is a truck driver. So he'd write about towns that he'd been in or driving a truck, that sort of thing.
Has anybody been published? Have you been able to help someone with that?
Well, you've hit upon a little bit of a sore spot because they should be able to publish. That is, there's lots of literary magazines out there where they have inmates who publish things. But in both Jefferson and Madison CI, so far they've not given me permission to send those things off for publication. And that's just something I'm working on with them. I think I have to build up some trust with the administration. They want to do it. Just like if you are a good cook, you want to invite your friends over and serve a good meal. If you are playing golf, you want to enter contests and be known for being a good golfer. Because they like to write, they want other people to read their writing. So that's something that they're very much interested in doing.
I'm wondering, a lot of prisons are now managed privately. Do you think that, and I'm saying prisons, I may have the wrong terminology for that particular level of correctional institution, I don't know. But those facilities, a lot of them are managed by private entities that are contracted by governmental entities. Do you think maybe it's some of the bureaucracy, depending on which system they're in, that's getting in the way of the publication?
The Gadsden facility that you spoke about, that is a private institution, so that might be different. The old saying is, if you've seen one prison, you've seen one prison. They all operate a little differently. Now, they're under the mandates of the Department of Corrections, but a warden will run that prison the way they want to run it.
Well, small steps, and we have to be grateful for the small steps that we do have.
Yes, yeah.
I read someplace where a prison in another state allowed inmates to have podcasts, and I found that to be really strange. But then again, they need an outlet.
Oh, absolutely.
And, a positive outlet. If you're going to be somewhere for the rest of your life or a huge chunk of your life, you do need something positive.
Right.
Now, tell me, what have you gotten? How has it changed Andrew Miller, not just what it does for the residents? How has it changed you?
I think I understand much better about our system, our prison system in this country. And I understand some of the weaknesses of it, some of the things that could be done better. It's given me a good view of the prison. And I think it also has taught me about the people who are in prison. You assume that they're all vicious criminals. Well, that's not true. In fact, I sometimes feel safer walking in that prison compound than I might be in walking in certain areas of Tallahassee, quite frankly, which reflects back on if more people understood what happened in the prison and what the people were like, I think we might be less hesitant to incarcerate so many people. We have the highest incarceration rate in the world. We put more people in prison than virtually every other country, and I'm not sure that's entirely needed.
Well, maybe we can find alternative methods of
punishment. Oh, I would say so. Yes, I would say so.
Yeah, because something happened that caused them to be there.
Yeah.
Everyone is not there by mistake, but everyone may not need to be there for an extreme length of time.
For that length, the length of time, I think that's one thing, that some of these men are in there for 20 years for crimes that in other states they might be in for less period of time. So that's one of the things that's very disheartening.
Yeah. Now, what's the process if someone wanted to volunteer and do what you're doing or something similar? Mm-hmm. There is a process. They just, corrections department doesn't let anybody drift in off the street.
Right.
So in a few words, what's the abridged version of how to be a volunteer?
The simplest thing, if you want to just go in for a day, let's say, contact me. I can get you in for just a visit, and I just have to send a note to the chaplain, usually let him know why you're coming in. If you'd like to be an official volunteer, then it's a matter of getting fingerprinted, taking a little online test and a little workbook of how to operate in a prison, that sort of thing. And then just go in, and usually you'd work with the chaplain, because they have all sorts of courses. They may have 20 or 30 different kinds of classes that they're trying to teach. Virtually any class that you can teach, they would probably find a place for you. So that's the easy way to do it. Then you get a little visitor badge, and you just literally walk in. Now, you can also contact Department of Corrections, but I just did it by just going in and talking to the chaplain or talking to the education director and saying, I can do this or do that. And the way we went, it was a fairly simple procedure at that point. So it's really quite simple to do.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, Andrew, it's really commendable that you would spend part of your days helping others. That's quite rewarding. I would imagine it's quite rewarding.
Very rewarding, yes.
I'm involved with some of the activities that you're doing in the prisons, but I'll say correctional institutions, but I don't do it as regularly as you do it. Mm-hmm. And it does make you feel good about it.
It does, yes. Yes, it does.
And to see people and learn that some of the prejudgments we had was definitely wrong.
That is correct. That is correct.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But thanks again. I really appreciate it. And I will put information in our show notes about how people can contact you if they're interested in visiting a correctional institution.
Sure, I'd love to have. I'm always looking for volunteers who will come in and get involved. So by all means, spread the word.
Will do. I'm happy to do it. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Gloria, for having me. I appreciate that.
All right. We believe that everyone has an opinion, and we want to hear from you. Please email your comments to gloria@cupofglow.com. If you have already subscribed to the podcast, thank you. If you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. If you would like to be a sponsor of the Cup of Glow podcast, please send your request for information via email to gloria@cupofglow.com. Until next week, this has been the Cup of Glow podcast with Gloria Darling, connecting, uplifting, and promoting you.